Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, what a day. Glorious day.
That will be. Oh, but in order to get there, we got to make it through this life.
Yeah.
And we need the Lord to help us to do that. I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'm depending on Him yet one more time. He's been faithful up till now, and I believe He's going to be faithful again.
Yes.
But I appreciate your prayers as we share what I believe what the Lord would have us to share for this morning. And it's something that I believe it's, if you're not, you're going to face it at some point in time. It's just a matter of life, and you'll know what I'm talking about here in a moment. But by the help of the Lord this morning, I'm going to talk about a way to escape.
Amen.
And I'm thinking about this in a natural sense. Maybe this has never happened to you. Maybe it has. You ever had a conversation, been involved in the conversation, and you're trying to do all that you could to end that conversation? And you was looking for some kind of way, just a break in it or something, to be able to try to ease on. All right, okay, well, okay. I don't know, maybe.
Excuse me.
Maybe that's been you. I mean, when you think about it, maybe there's been times when I've been having a conversation with somebody and they was ready to go, and maybe I just kept on talking and talking, and they was looking for a way out or looking for a way of escape from that conversation, but maybe me just continually talking, they couldn't get away somehow. Maybe that doesn't happen to anyone. What about someone maybe that you've had a phone conversation with, and they just maybe whatever the circumstances of life, and they just kind of talk quite a bit, and maybe you plan ahead where you let somebody know, maybe a spouse or a family member, to say, I want you to call me in like 30 minutes, okay? Maybe y'all's never done this. Okay. Call me in like 30 minutes so that I can get off the phone with this individual. Right? A way of escape. Give me an out so I can get out of this conversation. From the laughter, believe that all of us have experienced that.
Yeah.
And I think about all of us, maybe sometimes in those situations, it's more difficult than we realize to get out of them. But I'm thinking about this morning a way of escape as it relates to temptation. You know, this is important to all of us. It's important to the child of God, and it's also important to those that are in a position where they have not quite yet established the relationship with God that He desires for them. It's important to both individuals. And it's something that we're going to face as we go through this life, and if we don't need it now, you're going to need it at some point. You know, we as children of God, the enemy he's on attack at all times. And he's doing all that he can to try to discourage us. And I want to mention, we talk about the enemy because the enemy is real. And we're not giving him extra audience. But what we endeavor to do is expose his tricks and his traps to help us to be aware to know how to fight against him. So that's why we talk about, because it's real, because it's something that we all face. So all of us, as we go through this life, at some point in time, we're going to have a temptation or something, but know that God desires and has a way of escape. The same way that He had an escape for each and every one of us, when we bowed at an altar of prayer and asked God to release us from the bondage of sin, that same way that we escape from that, we're going to have to, on a regular basis, We're going to have to resist and fight against and find a way to escape temptation. Let's go to a very familiar text of scripture in the first Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. The essence of what we're talking about this morning is in the 13th verse, but there's some warning that lets us know that we're given here in the 12th verse. So 1 Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 12, and we'll read verse 13 as well.
Wherefore let him that thinketh
he standeth
take heed lest he fall.
So before we even get into the way of escape, we have some instruction to us this morning to be aware.
Yeah.
You look around and maybe you can say, I'm doing pretty good. But don't rest on that. We've been talking about in Sunday school about the danger of sleep and the danger of spiritual sleep in terms of getting comfortable and getting relaxed in your condition, seeming to think that all is well. The point being, and as it relates in this scripture this morning, is that we always have to be on guard. We always have to be aware. Because we may be standing today, but not for the mercy and the grace of God, unless we are able to resist against the enemy of our soul, that may not be the case for tomorrow. So we're encouraged here to take heed. Let him think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. All right? And the 13th verse, please.
There hath no temptation taken you.
There hath no temptation taken you.
But such as is common to man.
But God is faithful.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
But will with the temptation also make a way to escape.
That ye may be able to bear it.
All right, we're going to talk about some of the things in this verse that really stand out as we read it this morning. But in thinking about that word escape, escape means to get away. It means to be free of. And if you think about it in the spiritual sense, it's avoiding a threatening evil or danger. All right? So it says here in the 13th verse, there hath no temptation but that's taken you, but such as is common to man. So what this is letting us know this morning is the fact that this is something that all of us are going to have to face as we go through this life. Sometimes the enemy would like to make us think that the things that that the enemy throws at us to try to discourage us and try to hinder us, that we're the only ones that face something like that. But it's not the case. It says it's such as is common to man. All of us. Maybe it looks different, but the point being that the enemy is trying to discourage all of us in whatever way he can. So it's something that all of us deal with, something that all of us face as we go through life on a daily basis. All right? But I take note. In the writing here, it puts a colon there to kind of end that and add something else to it. All right? Because it says, but God is faithful. All right, but God is faithful. As we consider the thought this morning, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, the fact that God is faithful.
Amen.
Well, we can put that one in the bank, so to speak. The bank, you can put things in the bank and it's assured up to a certain amount. But when we talk about God being faithful, that's something that's insured fully. That's fully assured. It's not up to a certain percentage. It's all the way covered. We can be assured to know that God is faithful.
Amen.
All right? So then it says here, he's faithful, but it says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
Amen.
What does that tell us this morning? That lets us know that God has given us the power, the grace, the strength, whatever we need to be able to overcome and resist whatever the enemy brings against us. And recognizing that those things that come our way have to get through God first, we can be encouraged to know that if it's something that I am facing in my life, whatever it might be, you know, there's different things. Maybe it's a financial, maybe it's physical, maybe it's just in relationships, whatever it might be. God is not going to allow something to come your way that you're not able to be victorious over. He says he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. All right? Then it goes on to say, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it.
Amen.
All right. And in reading this verse, here's what the Amplified talks about that verse. I'm going to read a few highlights for it. It says, for no temptation, no trial with regard to enticing sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you or laid hold on you, but such as is common to man. All right. No temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. But God is faithful.
Amen.
In his word and in his compassionate nature. All right. And he always will be. We can be assured of that. You know, as we go through this life, God knows what each and every one of us are able to bear. And he can bless and help us in whatever way that we stand in need. He can suit out whatever we need to be able to be victorious in whatever we face. But, you know, the important thing is we have to rely and depend on him. Our reliance and our dependency is upon him. And you know what? When we do that, God will, it said, God is faithful.
Yeah.
Right? God is faithful. We don't have to be concerned about of the point being God is faithful.
Yeah.
The thought left my mind. I don't know what I was going to say, but the thought is God has been, is, and always will be. And there's nothing that can come our way that is going to have him in a position where he doesn't know what to do. He knows what to do. And we can be encouraged to know that as well. When we think about this, this is something that it's not a matter of it might happen. It's going to happen. Right. It's something that all of us face on a daily basis. Right. And God can bless and help us to be overcomers. God can give us renewed grace and strength in whatever way that we stand in need. Think about how this applies as we go through this life. There's a story in the Bible about some ones that was. They were endeavoring to do the work of the Lord. It's a familiar passage. It has to do with Paul and Silas, where they went in jail and they were endeavoring to do the work of the Lord. But God was faithful to them. But I want us to as we read that, to pull out some things as it relates to this thought about escape to a way of escape and the way of escape. That God can provide for each and every one of us. Desire your prayer. It seems like the enemy is just fighting me this morning. Let's go to Acts, the 16th chapter.
Yeah.
And the multitude rose up together against them.
So what was happening, they was doing the work of the Lord. And there was somebody that was hindering their work that they were doing. So the someone that was possessed, and they commanded the evil spirit to come out of her. So those that was taking advantage of her to use what the spirit that was in her for gain, they were not too happy about it. All right? So it says here the multitude rose up together against them.
And the magistrates ripped off their clothes.
The magistrates ripped off their clothes.
And commanded to beat them.
And commanded to beat them.
When they had laid many stripes upon them.
And it had laid, this is Acts 16. We're reading in verse 22, continuing at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them.
They cast them into the prison.
They cast them into the prison.
The jailer to keep them safely.
Charging the jailer to keep them safely.
Who?
Who?
Having received such a charge.
Having received such a charge.
Thrust them into the inner prison.
Thrust them into the inner prison.
And made their feet fast.
And made their feet fast in stocks. Let's pause here for a moment. All right? Sometimes what things that come our way, they are things that can, temptation can affect our response to what happens to us. Whether it's our attitudes or our actions, that's how the enemy, you know, because you think about if you're endeavoring to live for the Lord,
that's it.
Right? You're endeavoring to serve God, the enemy is not really going to get you to sin. I mean, if you have it fixed and made up in your mind that I'm going to get to heaven by the grace of God, that's out of the question, right?
Amen.
So then how can the enemy come in to try to discourage us and try to hinder us? Circumstances, life happening, just different things that come about where now what is my response to the things that come? Do I have an attitude? Am I upset? Do I start looking at this situation and say, God, why are you allowing this to take place? Think about Paul and Silas here. They're endeavoring to do the work of the Lord, spread his gospel. And here's some that come and now they're thrown in prison.
Yeah.
Could you imagine them maybe having the attitude, maybe having the mindset, God, what's going on here?
Wow.
We're trying to further the kingdom of God and now we're stuck in prison. How can we do anything here? Maybe they were. Could you blame them if they were a little bit disappointed and kind of sad and pouting and kind of like, well, I guess what are we gonna do now? We just got to sit in here and until I don't know, right? You see, there. So now the temptation for them. Well, how are we gonna respond to this? Here's this situation now. Lord, I'm trying to live for you.
Right.
Think about our own self. Trying to do right. Trying to please him in every way. And then things happen.
Yes. Amen.
And then what is our response? What was their response? Huh? Sound like to me, they had a pretty good prayer meeting in that jail.
Amen.
It sounds like they said, praise the Lord. I don't know why we in here, but let's have some singing and some praying and let's lift up God's name.
Amen.
So, in thinking about temptation, that verse said, he will make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So sometimes that way of escape is escaping to God and getting renewed, getting refreshed, getting a little bit more grace, getting a little bit more strength, getting a little bit more of whatever we need to be able to endure.
Yeah.
That's the way of escape.
Yeah.
Calling on God and saying, Lord, I need some more here.
Yeah.
So they, in this situation, they was not going to allow this to hinder the efforts that they had been doing. So as we pick up here in...
And at midnight.
In the 25th verse. And at midnight,
Paul and Silas prayed.
Paul and Silas prayed
and sang praises,
and
unto, God.
Sang praises unto God.
And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake.
So that the foundations of the prison were shaken.
And immediately all the doors were open.
And everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison waking out of his sleep. Seeing the prison doors open. He drew out his sword. And he would have killed himself. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So let's pause here for a moment and catch up on what's going on. So these brethren thrown in jail, and in their mind, they had prayer meeting. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And then what did God do for them? He made a way of escape, didn't he? He made a way. I doubt they was in there pondering, how are we going to get out of here? They weren't even thinking about that. You know, their hearts and their minds were just thinking on praising the Lord. And God decided to cause an earthquake. To shake up the prison and the foundation of the prison and break their bonds so that they could be set free.
Yes.
Now, think about that for a moment now. Most of the time, shackles, you know, maybe they're anchored into the concrete on one end, but then the other end are usually shackled around hands or wrists, right? You could just understand an earthquake breaking the foundation, but how did the shackles get off their hands? God did it. That's right. God provided a way of escape. God doesn't have to use human wisdom and human reasoning and human understanding to figure things out.
Amen.
He's God Almighty. You know, sometimes it seems like we get in the way, don't we? We feel like God needs some help so we can help him navigate through this. God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? In one place, it talks about, where were you when I created the world, when the foundation of the world? He didn't have any problem then. Why would he have a problem now? He can do whatever he needs to do to provide that way of escape. So in thinking about them, now God provided a way of escape for them. And we'll read a little bit more, but did they stay in the prison? No, they didn't. Right? They left. Think about that. What does God do for us? When God provides the way of escape, take it. Why remain in the situation? You know, if we would have read, if it was written in here that, and the earthquake and the shackles were loosed and they just stayed in prison, we would be wondering, why did they do that? Why didn't they go? So that was another. So there was that second escape, was God breaking them free so they could be set free from this prison. But that's not the only thing that took place here. There was a jailer, the keeper of the prison. All right. So let's talk about. So it said here, as we pick up in that the 27th verse. Let's read that one again, please.
And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep. Seeing the prison doors open.
He
drew out his sword.
And he would have killed himself.
Supposing that the prisoners
had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice,
saying,
"Do thyself no harm. do thyself no harm.
For we are all here.
We're all here. So now, the keeper of the prison got a temptation now, right? Here, I was given charge to make sure that these brethren stayed in this jail. And now, in a situation that was beyond my control, now all the prisoners are free and they're about to leave up out of here. So he's looking at his own condition and thinking, I'm in trouble. I'm gonna have to pay the price for this. They're gonna dispose of me, so I may as well dispose of myself first. Oh, but God had a way of escape. He had a way of escape. You know, but the thing is, he had to take advantage of it. And that's the essence of the thought this morning, is to recognize when God allows the way of escape, what are you going to do with it? Yes. Take advantage of it. Here, this the keeper of the prison, he had an opportunity now. Here, on one hand, he's knowing that I'm going to have to give an account in some kind of way for all these prisoners getting out of here. Oh, but then the way of escape came. The way to escape came. And Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We're still here. We're all here. But now take note of what happened next.
Then he called for a light.
He called for a light.
And he sprang in.
And he came trembling. And he came trembling.
And he fell down.
And he fell down before Paul and Silas. So we pause for a moment here. So maybe in his mind, I said, I heard y'all all say you're still here, but I want to be able to see this for myself.
Yeah.
So he asked for, bring a light. So let me see for my own self that everybody's still here.
Yeah.
All right. Then what happened next?
And he brought them out.
He brought them out.
And he said,
and he said, sirs,
what must I do to be saved?
What must I do to be saved? The way of escape was offered to him. And you know what? He had to. God, did anybody force him? It seemed like God, in some kind of way, he knew about Almighty God and knew about salvation. He had heard about it some kind of way. To the point where he realized that, you know what, God, he did something special for these brethren that endeavoring to do the work of the Lord. I want what they have.
Yeah.
So somehow the way of escape came to him, and he said, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
And you know, isn't it wonderful how it what took place here in thinking about this, it was not only just for his own self. You know, I could think about that prison guard as he was weighing this decision. Here, on one hand, he was going to dispose of himself, and then on the other hand, he had an opportunity to be saved. It doesn't seem like there was a lot of dialogue that took place. He recognized the way of escape was offered, and I'm going to take it.
Amen.
And the blessing and the wonderful thing about it, it wasn't just for him. Others were blessed by it.
Yes.
So let's continue reading, please.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And thou shalt be saved.
And thou shalt be saved.
And thy house.
And thy house. So if you continue reading in there, what you know, find out is they went to his house and his whole family got saved and baptized that day because the way of escape was offered. And what did it take for him? It took a recognition. He had to recognize what was being offered and then look at the impact that it had. Wasn't just him, it was his entire family that was blessed by this situation. There was something clicked in his mind, right? Whatever had transpired up until that point, we don't know. But the point is, he recognized the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
that was shown to brother Paul and Silas and realized that that could be extended to him as well.
Yeah.
And he took advantage of it. So what that lets us know is that God is faithful to every soul. You know, how did he know? Well, there's a verse in Job, the 32nd chapter, and the 8th verse. Gives us a little insight on that. Job 32:8.
But there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty.
Giveth him understanding. So that lets us know wherever an individual is along the journey and the pathway of life, that God has a way to make it known and clear to individuals about a way to escape. That there's a spirit within man. In Genesis, it talks about God when he formed man out of dust of the ground and he breathed into him the spirit of life and man became a living soul. So that spirit that was breathed into mankind, God uses that to help souls to realize when the way of escape is offered. And what it is, it has to be recognized. You know, all that God has done for his creation. He sent his son to die and pay the price for our sins. And we think about how the fact that his death on the cross broke the bondage of sin. Right? So the work has already been done. It's just up to the individual to recognize it. Recognize the way of escape that's being offered. You know, there's a time when God deals with each and every soul individually. And when he does, you know what it is? That is, we talk about the time that happens between God's dealings. And Brother Henry made a beautiful analogy this morning. He talked about our hand and our fingers, and he talked about the space between our fingers being mercy. Isn't that what you mentioned, Brother Henry? So in thinking about the times between God's dealings is mercy. So God's dealings is an opportunity and it's a way of escape.
Yes.
And then when the individuals don't take advantage of it, then now they're presuming that there will be additional mercy. That's not advisable. It's not advisable. You know, think about this jailer again, the keeper of the prison. Could he have walked away from this situation and thought, well, yes, I understand. I just got a personal invitation, really, of the power and the might of God. Could he have walked away from that? Yes, he could have said, yes, I see and I recognize it, but I'm not ready yet. And then he could have presumed on God's mercy. And think about the effect that would have had, not only on his own self, but what about his family? You know, a lot of times the enemy likes to cause people to think that they live in a world by themselves in a bubble. That is not the case. The decisions and things that we make, they affect other people. And when we think about these things, when we don't take that way of escape, and then the enemy comes in and just starts beating us over the head again, that has an effect on others that you don't realize. May the Lord help us to recognize when he offers the way to escape and not presume on his mercy. Because when it comes to mercy, can you identify it? I mean, can you say, I have so much? You can't really say that. How do you know how much, how could anybody say, I know how much mercy God is going to extend to me? No. Nobody can say that. So what that is a reminder for us is, when the way to escape is offered, we have to take full advantage of it. Mercy is a gift. It's a gift, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a gift from God. Yes. You know, I think about as parents, those of us that are parents or raise children, when you see a child is trying to do their best and trying to put forth an effort, you know, maybe there's times where you would extend mercy, right? You know, maybe you gave them a deadline to say you need to have your room cleaned by such and such a time. Now think about these two different situations. Maybe that time frame was an hour or 2 hours. How inclined would you be as a parent if you checked in at the halfway mark and your child was still sitting there not doing anything? You know? You, more than likely, you wouldn't add additional time.
Right.
But you know what? If you saw that child was putting forth an effort and trying to do what you instructed them to do, no doubt you would extend a little mercy. Now, we talked about mercy being a gift from God. He's the only one that can evaluate mercy as it relates to his creation. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 11th verse, it talks about this illustration that I was just presenting in terms of parents and children and as it relates to Almighty God. In Matthew 7 and 11, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him." So think about that as it relates to mercy being a gift from God. And how none of us would ever want to be in a position where we're trying to determine how much mercy God should extend to someone. That is far beyond anything that we could comprehend and understand. But that's something that only God can do. God's love and his mercy is extended to his creation. And then what he does is he allows circumstances of life to come our way. And when those circumstances of life come our way, he deals with our hearts. And then there's a shift then. There's a shift from his part to my part. It's in me recognizing, all right, I recognize God has extended mercy. You know, maybe you think about before the time, maybe before you got saved, you were going down a pathway and God presented a circumstance or a situation to come, and it helped you to recognize that if I keep going that way, it's going to lead to something bad. Right? It's going to lead to destruction. It's leading me further away from God.
Oh,
and what I have to recognize is that God's dealings is the way of escape.
Yes.
That's his way of escape. And it's up to each and every one of us to respond. You know, God doesn't, he doesn't force us to do anything. When he offers a way of escape, we can ignore it if we want to. We have that choice. Oh, but God desires us. You know what he desires? He wants us to run towards him.
Yes.
When he offers that way of escape, he wants us to run towards him. You know, we can leave the mercy in God's hands. We can let him deal with that. But the important thing for each and every one of us is when we recognize it, to respond in a way that's going to bring us to him and not away from him. Because he's the decider of it.
Yes.
Let's go one more verse in Romans, the 9th chapter. and the 15th verse. This goes again to the thought of the fact that God is the determiner of mercy. He presents the way of escape, the way to escape, but he's the one that determines whether that's going to be offered again.
For he saith to Moses,
I
will have mercy on whom?
I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy.
I will have compassion.
I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So all of that is in his hands. Yeah. The writer says, but of our own free and sovereign grace, I choose them mercy and compassion. I will give them salvation. This is Jesus saying, I'll give them my salvation, his salvation. Yeah. My salvation in my own way and on my terms. Sometimes the enemy would like to trick individuals to think that that is reversed. You know, we can only come to God on his terms. When the way to escape is offered, that's God's terms. We can't decide this way of escape was offered last week. I can run to it now. It may not be available. It may not be available to us. We have to go through his terms. And when this verse in Romans, it relates back to Moses with the children of Israel. When Moses was so fed up, he just wanted God to just destroy him. But God let him know, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and compassion on whom I have compassion. You know why he can do that? Because he knows what's going on the inside. He knows the workings of the inside. Just as that parent sees that child putting forth an effort in a natural sense, God sees where souls are spiritually and determines whether he will extend mercy till the next time he offers a way to escape. I'd like to encourage us this morning. Maybe if you don't feel like you need this for now, hold on to it, because you'll need it later. All of us, the child of God, and again, the one that hasn't, you notice how I said that, has not established a relationship yet. God desires for all of his creation to accept what he has to offer. And when he offers the way to escape, he wants individuals to recognize it and take full advantage of it. So let's be encouraged. Ask the Lord to bless and help us each one to be able to ask God to give us greater discernment, greater understanding, to recognize the way to escape when it's offered to each and every one of us. And whether, we talked about in some instances, that way to escape might mean getting a little closer to the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
You might say, Lord, I need some help here. I need some more strength. I need something. Maybe you don't even know what you need, but God knows.
Yes.
And us running towards him is taking advantage of that. He's given us what we need to be able to go through, just like Paul and Silas. Do you think they had any idea how long they was going to be in jail? I don't believe they had any clue. But their mind and their attitude was in the right place. And God saw that, and he brought a way to escape for them. And it was a blessing not only for them, because it was a way to escape for them, but he also blessed a soul. Not only a soul, but multiple souls could be saved. So recognize, ask the Lord, help us to recognize the way to escape and realize the impact that it has, not only on us individually, but on all of us. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. I pray these few thoughts have been an encouragement to you.